Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're starting this morning with a few light showers in our southern counties. That's going to be lifting across the area today. I'll show you what time you might need your umbrella.
And parents, if you want to know if you're sending your child to a good school, just ahead, there's a new proposal being considered and reviewed today that could change how schools are graded. I'm breaking down those new factors being considered.
A Duke basketball star says he was hurt after a fan ran into him while storming the court. Why this viral video is renewing the debate over banning court and field storming. Just one topic we'll get into here. We had a storm-free weekend. We're glad you're with us here on this Monday. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. We don't have storms out there right now, but We are seeing some light patchy rain moving across the Sand Hills, and that's going to make its way into the Triangle. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center to track who's going to see the rain and when.
It looks like almost everybody has a good chance of seeing some of it, but it's going to be light and patchy. It's not going to be something that should have a major impact on your day, but when the rain does roll through your area, obviously, you know, you'll be happy to have a raincoat. We do have some light patchy rain down here in the Sand Hills, really moving out of Moore County on down here into Cumberland County, Hope Mills, seeing a few light showers. You're going to start to see that in Fayetteville as well. There's more of it back to the west, and this line is going to lift north and east, affecting the Triangle all the way up to the Virginia line as we get through the day today. You can see that here on FutureCast. Right here at 6 a.m., seeing that band of rain moving northward. By 8 o'clock, it's in the Triangle. It'll be fairly light and patchy. It could have some effect on the morning commute. Sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot of rain to cause a lot of backups. It lingers through around lunchtime or so, and then after lunchtime, it moves on up toward the Virginia line from, say, Rocky Mount up toward Roxboro and eventually on into Virginia. While we see some clearing in the south during the afternoon, and temperatures really warming up nicely, we'll see a southerly wind sort of pushing that rain northward. We have a 30% chance, but it's not, you know, for your spot for the entire time. It's going to see, just going to see that line moving through. Looking this morning at downtown Raleigh, here at the Legislative Building. Our wind is southwest at 7, and so those winds are going to warm things up today. Right now, though, it's on the cool side, 41 degrees. Our skies are mostly cloudy, so we have the top of the tower lit in purple. 41 in South Hill through the Triangle, 44 in Fayetteville, 43 in Southern Pine. So it's on the cool side this morning, but it's a fast warm-up, 61 at lunchtime. We'll see temperatures in the upper 60s, and we'll see highs by the middle of the week near records. Eric?
Elizabeth, taking a look at traffic right now. We have got one crash that we're keeping our eyes on. That's going to be all the way down here near that I-40, I-70 interchange down towards Clayton. Not seeing any backups from that one at the moment, and we are currently working to learn how severe that is and if anybody was injured. Otherwise, though, across the map, things looking good, including right here, I-40 at South Saunders. You can see that traffic flowing nice and smooth. A very similar story as well, I-440 at Glenwood Avenue. You see folks getting their day started off there. Of course, we'll keep a close eye on it, check on that crash, as well as any other incidents we see popping up.
A man is due in court today accused of taking pictures of a teen girl in the dressing room of a Garner clothing store. 50-year-old Kelly Jones of Apex is charged with secret peeping after being accused of taking the pictures at Little Details Women's Boutique. Authorities accuse him of taking pictures of a 16-year-old girl while she was changing. The girl says she caught Jones taking her picture and told her mom, who confronted Jones as he came out of the fitting room. According to Jones' LinkedIn page, he's a former Army officer who served in the Maryland Army National Guard. He's doing a Wake County courtroom 1:30 this afternoon.
If your family is looking to move to a new area in North Carolina, you may be comparing school performance grades. Right now, the grades are only based on test scores, but the state superintendent wants to take more factors into account. WRL's Laura Levine is live at the Legislative Building this morning. Laura, this could give families a better idea of which schools they want their kids to go to.
It could. Good morning, Renee. State Superintendent Catherine Truitt. She's going to meet here with lawmakers to discuss this proposal that she's really been working on for about 2 years now with an advisory group. So let's say that you are moving to a different neighborhood and you want to know more about the school that you would be sending your kids to. Well, right now, the state's rankings or grading doesn't share those graduation rates, attendance records, how satisfied the teachers are, or what classes they offer. WRAL's education insider Emily Walkenhurst tells us currently 80% of the school performance grade is based off of standardized test scores, and then 20% is based on growth. Truitt says that's not the complete picture.
people on the outside who don't work in the schools, parents, people who are looking to have kids or looking at, you know, where they like to live, can look at, you know, performance grades and get some sense of how well a school is doing.
Lawmakers are not expected to take action on this today. However, they could decide to move forward with more meetings depending on how this proposal and presentation goes today. They're going to meet here at noon. Laura Levine, WREL News. We're live in Raleigh.
Raleigh police are looking for the person responsible for a deadly shooting on Rock Quarry Road. Police say 28-year-old Stephen Jones walked into the Dollar General there on Rock Quarry Road just after 1 Saturday afternoon with a gunshot wound. He was taken to a hospital with serious injuries. Sunday, police said Jones later died. Now, police say Jones was shot near that Dollar General, but have not said exactly where the shooting happened. That shooting on Rock Quarry Road was one of 3 shootings in Raleigh Saturday. 2 of the 3 were deadly. The first happened just before 5 a.m. on Quail Hollow Drive. 23-year-old Jose Marquez Diaz was killed. The second happened about 2 hours later on North Raleigh Boulevard. A woman was seriously hurt but is expected to recover there. And no arrests have been made in any of these shootings at this time. Investigators do have a person of interest in the North Raleigh Boulevard shooting.
We're expecting to get an update from Duke basketball coach John Shire today about the injury his star player Kyle Filipowski suffered over the weekend. Filipowski was hurt as Wake Forest fans stormed the court after their upset win over the Blue Devils on Saturday. The injury is reigniting the debate over whether fans should be allowed to rush the court. Coming up in 10 minutes, Kent Smith will break down that debate and what ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips is saying about it.
Happening today, a hearing in a murder case that could affect more than 100 death row inmates in North Carolina gets started today. Could also affect the 2024 race for governor. A judge will hear arguments in a 2009 murder case where a teenager was shot during a robbery. The defendant hopes to get off death row, arguing his trial was tainted by racism. The outcome could receive dozens of cases that started before the Racial Justice Act was repealed in 2013. Now, parts of the law were reinstated in 2020. For more on this case and its possible political impact, you can go to the NC Capitol section of WRL.com.
A man is dead and another charged with murder after a shooting in Sanford. This happened on Primrose Lane around 9:30 Saturday night. Police say they found 20-year-old Tyrese Wicker on the front porch steps. He had been shot several times and died at the scene. Police arrested 19-year-old Jackson Chesney. He faces a murder charge and is in the Lee County Jail without bond.
A train station in Ukraine is destroyed after Russia bombed a railway station there. That bomb damaged surrounding apartments in the eastern part of Ukraine. Police in the region said 4 S-300 missiles hit the town after the first bomb Sunday. Russian President Vladimir Putin has previously said troops would push further into Ukraine.
Back here in the States, a partial government shutdown is looming once again as lawmakers push for more aid to Ukraine. You're looking live at the U.S. Capitol building right now, where Congress is facing a March 1st deadline to pass a funding deal. Federal departments and agencies that will be impacted are already updating their shutdown plans in the event a deal is not reached. One of the major issues under debate is $118 billion in aid for Ukraine, something many Democrats and Republicans are pushing for. This will be the 4th time since September that lawmakers have been up against a funding deadline. They keep passing short-term stopgap deals. Listen to this important date that you'll want to know about. If you have a legal question, you can get it answered for free this week. Five on Your Side is partnering with the North Carolina Bar Foundation for Lawyers on Call. Call in Friday to talk to a licensed lawyer absolutely free. This public service is completely anonymous, designed to connect you with legal information.
Coming up, new information on the case of 2 Americans who are believed to be dead after their yacht was hijacked. Why police in Grenada think 3 men who escaped jail could be the ones responsible. Ken?
And Jeff, we're taking a closer look at the debate over fans storming the court after an upset win. Why the latest incident involving Duke could lead to changes in ACC protocol.
And we have a few patchy light showers in our southern counties. That's going to lift northward across the viewing area. Almost everybody will see it. I'll show you what time it arrives where you are.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Taking a look outside this morning. Temperatures are in the low 40s as you're stepping out the door, so that's chilly, but we're definitely well above freezing and in for a nice warm up as we get through the day today. We do have some cloud cover out there right now, and I'm tracking a few light showers. We'll take a closer look at that in a few minutes. So you may want to send the kids out with a raincoat. The rain is really light. It would really be, you know, just kind of covering the bases to send it out with them, but we're going to see that band of rain moving from the southwest to up around the Virginia line as we get through the day today. Look at that. Afternoon high, 68 degrees. It is going to be a nice warm day today. We're starting with those showers in the southwest. We will end up with that rain moving northward up to the Virginia line. We'll have some clearing in the afternoon around the Triangle area, but again, there'll be some light scattered showers. Eric?
Well, Elizabeth, only one crash that we're continuing to keep our eyes on here this morning. That's going to be down here, I-40 near that 70 interchange just outside of Clayton. Not seeing any major backups, and in the last few minutes, it seems like that may have cleared up. We'll bring you updates on that here in just a few minutes. Taking a live look outside right now, I-40 South Saunders. Once again, you can see that morning traffic starting to build in, things getting a little busy, but so far so smooth out there for most folks on the roads.
We know the names of two Americans believed to have been killed after police say their yacht was hijacked off the island of Grenada. A sailing club identified the couple as Kathy Brandle and Ralph Hendry of Virginia. They were spending the winter cruising the Eastern Caribbean. Police in Grenada say that they have three men in custody who escaped from prison on the 18th of February, and police believe they may have killed the couple. A GoFundMe campaign to support the families has raised almost $50,000.
People incarcerated at a North Carolina correctional center are taking on a new task, training their first special needs dog. It's part of the new Leash on Life program in Forsyth County. The dogs live with the men for 10 weeks, and they're taught obedience skills, house training, and crate training. Simone is a young mixed breed who first arrived at a shelter. She's also deaf. Despite that, her new trainer, Terry Smith, says she is doing well.
We're halfway in and she already has sit, down, stay, place, come, walks good on the leash, does a few tricks. She's a good dog and she just deserves a good loving home. And I assure you with everything in me that you love this dog and she'll pay you back that love immeasurable amounts.
Simone is halfway through her training. She'll graduate from the program on March 27th.
The debate about storming the court in college basketball isn't a new one, but the latest incident involving Duke and Wake Forest has Duke's head coach calling for changes. WRL's Ken Smith is here with this ongoing debate. Ken?
You know, Jeff, to your point about this not being new, I looked at articles dating back to 2015 when this happened, but this latest incident involving an athlete versus fan collision on a basketball court is the second one in over a month. The video is all over social media. You can see Wake Forest fans storming the court, at one point colliding with Duke star Kyle Filipowski. Back in January, a similar scene played out when Iowa superstar Caitlin Clark got bumped by an Ohio State fan storming the court. Now, based on information we've gathered, ACC schools do not have official protocols or disciplinary actions in place for when fans rush the court. Now, the SEC does fine schools for such infractions. The fines range from $250,000 to $500,000. This is what Duke coach John Shai had to say after Saturday's incident.
Who in their right mind can see that? So, yeah, that's smart. It's dangerous. And in what other sport does that happen?
ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips said in a statement the conference will continue to make assessments with ACC schools to determine the best way to protect student athletes, coaches, and fans. That statement, though, did not make any reference specifically to protocols that could be put in place in the ACC. So that jury is still out. Duke's next game is at home at Cameron Indoor against the Louisville Cardinals. That happens Wednesday night. So, Jeff, it's not new, but it continues to happen. But how do you police that?
Yeah, it's really hard to keep all those kids off the court. I think you just have to be aware that it's going to happen. Get your bench as quickly as possible. Right. It happens in football as well. But it's a high-priced athlete out there, you know, in this day and age. So there's a lot of money at stake. Yeah. SEC with the fines probably has it right.
Very true.
People across the country are gearing up for an increase in tourists ahead of April's total solar eclipse. Many are making travel plans hundreds of miles to get a glimpse of the out-of-this-world event.
I feel like we've kind of hit the cosmic lottery. We're planning, you know, downtown festivals with bands playing and vendors and food trucks.
And ahead this morning on Today, we are 6 weeks away from the excitement that is building for the total solar eclipse. What some towns are doing to get ready for the crowds and the economic boom that'll come with it.
Exciting. We may see some peaks of sunshine today, but the big story is the warmer weather for all you warmer weather lovers. It's going to feel like spring around here.
It is. Temperatures are going to climb into the upper 60s. We're going to see some sunshine in some places this afternoon. We are looking at temperatures climbing to the 60s and eventually 70s by the time we get to Wednesday. We do have multiple rain chances. The rain that we see today will be fairly patchy and light, and then we'll see more rounds on Tuesday. Tuesday will be a little bit more widespread than it will be today. And then another round of rain and wind for Wednesday night and possibly some showers into the weekend. So it's a warmer pattern, but it's also a wetter pattern. There's not much happening in our viewing area right now, but we do have some showers that are back to the west that are going to be lifting across the region. We'll zoom in and you can see some of those showers just moving past Fayetteville right now. A little bit of a break for most of Hope County, but there's another band of showers that's back to the west. It's going to continue to lift northward and eastward. Lots of sunshine for us this past weekend, but some chilly temperatures. Of course, the lounge chairs are out at Fitton and Cary. I imagine a lot of folks are enjoying the sunshine, but it's going to be warm enough to, you know, really soak it in for the next few days. But we'll be dealing with some showers. This is a look at the big picture from Wilmington to Fayetteville back over toward the mountains. You can see this line of just patchy light rain. We'll follow it here on Futurecast. By the time we get to 8 o'clock, we're looking at some showers from Goldsboro to Raleigh to Durham. It sort of hangs around in our northern counties from lunchtime on into the evening. By the time we get to 2:30 to 3 o'clock, we're seeing it from Rocky Mount to Roxboro to South Hill. And at that point, we should see some clearing in our southern counties through the triangle, and that should bring us some nice warm temperatures this afternoon. On Tuesday, more rain rolls in by lunchtime, and we'll just see wave after wave of it coming through, starting around lunchtime, continuing through the evening, and really on up past midnight. So our next best rain chance after that then comes late on Wednesday. We can see winds Wednesday night gusting up to 35 miles per hour. Some big temperature jumps also into the upper 70s, and then behind the front, we're back down into the 50s. So a big temperature swing behind this. Here's a look at Futurecast. This is Wednesday, so most of the day stays dry. The cold front comes through. We'll see some rain Wednesday night and windy conditions. And then behind it, we're turning cooler for Thursday and Friday. Thursday looks dry and much of Friday does as well. But we get into the weekend and you can see this next wave of rain that moves through. That's 5 o'clock Friday. Friday night into early Saturday, we'll likely see some showers. Hoping it's going to clear on out for us on Saturday. Saturday's looking a little bit drier in the afternoon. How much rainfall total? Probably going to be half an inch to an inch by the time we get to, say, Saturday. So it's not a lot of rain. So we're talking about, you know, 3 or 4 days worth of rain and adding up total just about half an inch to an inch. There's that 77 for Wednesday. Coming up, I'll show you how close that is to a record high. Definitely big ups and downs with our temperatures this week. But right now, the weekend looks mild. Eric?
Elizabeth, some new information here the last couple of minutes on that crash that we've been following down there on Highway 70 down towards Clayton. Taking a closer look here, this is going to be, you see it right there, right near that Rainer Road intersection. We've learned that just the shoulder is blocked at this point, so no major impacts to the lanes there. So just something to keep in mind if you're headed in towards Raleigh. Otherwise, so far so good out there across the entire region. Taking a live look, I-440 at Glenwood Avenue. You can see things starting to get busy for the morning commute, but those backups, those are not popping up yet. We'll let you know as things change.
As video of a fight involving Cam Newton goes viral on social media, other NFL players are weighing in about this. Coming up on What's Trending, why those former players say they would not want to pick a fight with that guy.
Plus, Wendy Williams has spoken about her aphasia and dementia diagnoses for the first time publicly. How she's expressing love and gratitude toward her fans. Next. And here's a look at your winning North Carolina Education Lottery numbers.
This What's Trending report, sponsored by Rugg and Home.
People who have played football with and against Cam Newton say they would not want to pick on him in a fight.
Yeah, he's a big guy, 6'5". Here's a look at what's trending. Former Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton found himself in the middle of a brawl at an all-star football event in Atlanta. Former NFL linebacker Emmanuel Acho reposted the video to X, saying, Cam Newton made NFL linebackers look small, so why in the world would you, a mere mortal, ever think fighting Cam Newton is a good idea?
And like you pointed out earlier when we looked at this video, Cam never lost the hat.
His trademark hat.
In that brawl, hat never came off. I saw a punch thrown. It looked like it might have landed on Cam, but really, just like Acho said, this is a linebacker-sized guy. You got small quarterbacks in the NFL. He was not. He was a big dude.
And still a lot of questions how this all started. Maybe Cam was trying to break up a fight and then got in the middle of this, but the hat just stayed on.
Maybe more, disturbing is that there was 15-year-olds playing football. Yet another spinoff here in the Walking Dead universe premiered this weekend. The latest installment is a 6-part miniseries called The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. The series is a love story that picks up where Rick Grimes and his wife Michonne left off in the original series. There are 6 spinoff shows in the Walking Dead universe. Those spinoffs are alive.
Yeah, and this particular series started off as a film, but then made into a series, and it really delivered on the romance. So far, the first episode, people are saying it gives you the romance vibe in between all the zombie stuff, too.
Yeah, so. All that.
Wendy Williams is thanking her fans for supporting her after they learned of her aphasia and dementia diagnoses. In a statement published by People magazine, Williams expressed immense gratitude for the love and kind words I've received, adding that she hopes others with her condition might benefit from her story. Aphasia affects one's ability to communicate, and frontotemporal dementia is a term for a group of brain disorders. Her Lifetime docuseries, Where is Wendy Williams, premiered this past weekend.
Tracking a few light showers out there from Fayetteville southward. We also have some showers that are stretched back across just to our west. We're looking at all this lifting northward across the triangle and toward the Virginia line. Almost everybody will see some showers, but I'll show you what time you'll see them coming up.
And for parents who like to know how their kids' school is doing, there is a new proposal that could change the way schools are graded across the state. Just ahead, I'm breaking down those new factors being considered today.
And here's a live look at the U.S. Capitol. We are nearing another possible government shutdown. One of the big issues, funding for Ukraine aid. What lawmakers from both sides of the aisle are pushing for, we'll explain.